Good morning. My name is Stephen Riley, lead pastor at Living Waters Church, and I want to go straight to 1 Corinthians 15 and proclaim the Word of God. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Let me tell you, death is defeated. Sin is defeated and all of its consequences through the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. Who else can beat death? Who else can conquer death and have victory over it? Let me tell you, there's one, and there's one and only, and that's Jesus Christ. I have been to Israel four times. And every time I'm in Israel, my favorite place in the whole nation, though there's glorious places all over, is in Jerusalem at the Garden Tomb. And the Garden Tomb is right outside the city, and it's an archaeological find where they believe it matches the description of the tomb. Because what happened there is a miracle happened, and I love going in there and seeing that the actual place where it happened. And today I want to say to you, there is good reason why believers all over the globe this morning, and some are doing it before us because they're ahead of us, like Australia is already. It's Sunday night there, and then on the other side of Israel, they're behind us. They haven't woken up yet. But in this 24-hour period all over the world, there's good reasons why Christians who have Jesus inside of us, we are celebrating the biggest event of our faith, of our Bible, of our life, and that's His resurrection. I love seeing images of the empty tomb because I've been in that tomb in Israel right outside Jerusalem. And it has two slabs of stone that were made out for two bodies, and Jesus was the only body that was laid in that tomb at the time. And I love this image where there is the power of God that is coming through to raise Him from the dead. So we do celebrate His resurrection. And because we celebrate His resurrection, it is our place of victory. We are not being brainwashed. We are not doing some emotional tricks on us when we can get happy in the midst of a pandemic. Because we have reason to celebrate. We have reason to be excited. And it is that His resurrection is our place of victory. I want us to turn to Matthew 28 in your Bibles or your phones or tablets. We're going to read one of the accounts in the Gospels that describe this amazing one in a life universe time event. In Matthew 28. And I want to give you a little background, and I'll start reading, and then you'll pick up at verse 6. I'll have verse 6 up on the screen here in a moment. But Jesus died and was crucified, went through great suffering, 40 lashes of flesh-ripping lashes on his back, the crown of thorns being hit and beat, crucified on a cross on Friday. His body was a bloody mess all over. And all of these events happened so quickly. Where are they going to put him in the grave? What kind of grave? What kind of place? And there was a man named Joseph who became a follower of Christ. And he already had built this tomb, had it cut out for him and his family, and he asked for this bloody dead body of Jesus Christ. And that was on Friday. And because for a Jewish culture and nation, Friday evening at sundown is Sabbath. You can do no work for 24 hours from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. That's called their Sabbath. They couldn't prepare the body with cleaning it up and spices and so forth. And he just laid this body in the tomb and left. But on the third day, that was early in the morning, there were two ladies, and it says in Matthew 28, it was Mary of Magdalene and then the other Mary, went together to go prepare the body, to clean it up of all the bloody mess from head to toe, to give it certain herbs and spices and to wrap it properly. And this is where we're getting to in this incredible event, where there was, while they were walking there, an angel came from heaven. And the Bible says that there was this guard there protecting and keeping watch so that there would be no one disturbing the tomb or would try to steal the body. And this angel came down, and when the angel came down, there was an earthquake, and that big stone that was sealed shut was shaken and rolled open, and Jesus was risen from the dead. And then the two ladies come, and let's see what happens here. I'm going to start reading at verse 5, and it says, "But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.'" Well, let me tell you, if you just saw an earthquake and you see the angel sitting out there, I think you would be afraid. You would be kind of freaking out, what's going on. And so the angel had to calm them down and say, "Don't be afraid." And then he says, I know what you're here for. You seek this dead, bloody, gory body that's been through so much suffering. But and all the way through crucifixion. But guess what? Verse 6, it says, "He is not here." Awesome. "For he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." And so he wanted them to see it and with their own two eyes. That the guard has just ran in fear, and this is open. Come on in and check it out. And so they do so. And verse 7 says, "Then they go quickly and they tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him." And so the angel's giving them instructions. Listen, look inside the tomb first. See it with your own two eyes. Then go tell the others, because Jesus wants them to see him too. We're going to have some eyewitnesses of this whole event. And then this angel says in verse 7, he says, "See, I have told you." Now, what does that mean? "See, I have told you." So like, I've just done my duty from heaven. Does this mean, don't you forget, tell everybody I'm the one who told you. Don't forget to tell them about. I'm not sure. It'd be a fun question to ask this angel. Why did you say that? "See, I have told you." He just wanted to get his name in the Holy Writ, I guess. I don't know. It'd be a fun question to ask him. Verse 8. "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." That mixture of incredible excitement. We went to press, but now we have great joy. But we saw an angel, and that means Jesus is alive now. And they had this fear and this great joy mixed together. And they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, verse 9 says, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Isn't this so cool? That Jesus takes two women in a culture that would have looked down on women, on a culture that would have not have prioritized women, a culture that where Mary Magdalene was possessed and controlled by demons, and Jesus had delivered those demons out of her. She would have had a history, a background that would have given her a bad reputation. back in her earlier life. And here he shows himself to two women. And then these two women are the first to worship the risen Christ Jesus. The first to see him. The first to worship him. The first to be the eyewitnesses of the risen Lord. And they are there at his feet with their whole heart worshiping Jesus. They had just honored him and respected him over his ministry and was amazed at him. They had shown him great support and loyalty. But now he is risen. He has defeated death. And they are at these feet that have seen death and seen the resurrection and worshiping him, the risen Lord, the one who's defeated death and sin. Wow, what a privilege. Then verse 10, then Jesus says to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Again, Jesus is setting up a plan to have many eyewitnesses of this resurrected Jesus who's defeated everything now. There's nothing else to defeat. There's really no one else who can top this act of power, this act of magnitude of being mighty, the Almighty. Now, what happens with those guards? It says that in history, they say that a Roman guard is up to 16 soldiers. And that they sealed it with the Roman seal. Say, if anybody messes with this stone, you have committed a crime and that could be punishable to death. And these Roman guards, it was actually part of their training to have a system of guarding an area. And if they fell asleep, they would have not only been punished, but perhaps put to death for not fulfilling their responsibilities. And what do? They go into the city. They talk to the priest because they're worried for their life. And the priest paid them to lie and said, and we will go to the governor and we will protect you so that you don't get into trouble. And they said, go lie and say that, oh, the body was stolen and we fell asleep. Well, everybody knew that these guards don't fall asleep and that these guards, you're not going to be able to overcome them, a few of these disciples. And so how we had this rumor that went through the city. Let me tell you, is there any other religion that has at its central place that death must be defeated by a resurrection, by an innocent, both God and man, as the perfect lamb of sacrifice for us? Was there any other religion that says we can show you how to defeat death? We can pave the way. No, Jesus Christ. And believing in asking him to come into your heart and ask for his forgiveness. This is the only world religion that allows, that has this pathway to defeat death. He not only defeated death as a mighty warrior, but he paid the price in suffering. Any God that you know that would be so willing to be innocent but be punished for us, to take on our sin and be punished to the point of death with the wrath, with the judgment of God, the wrath of God on himself, to be his sin, your sin, my sin punished on himself. There's no other religion that has put this thing together like this, folks. This makes sense that there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to have victory over the death, and that is to follow someone who's already done it. Nobody else has done this. And he paid the price, so that's his great love. And he was also, by God's great power, able to give us that victory. His resurrection is our place of victory. You know, I've already read a few scriptures out of 1 Corinthians 15 that opening, in a sense, a taunt against death. Where is your sting? Where is your power? Let me tell you, it's swallowed up in the victory of our Christ's resurrection. And that if you need to just study more about the resurrection, read 1 Corinthians 15. And one thing is the Apostle Paul is going into this section of his writing there. He explains the eyewitnesses of who saw Jesus risen, the risen Lord. And I just want to read you a few verses of that. It's verse 5, and it says, then, and Jesus Christ appeared to Cephas, who would have been Peter, then to the 12. And then he appeared to more than 500 other brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Well, let me tell you, folks, he's appeared to me. He's appeared to you. He's appeared to you. Those of us that have seen in our hearts that Jesus Christ is real. He's alive. He's defeated death. And our heart yearns for him. He's appeared to us. Paul is, it's kind of funny, he included himself in this list because he didn't see the physical body, this glorified body of the risen Lord before he ascended into heaven like these others of the apostles and the 500 and the two on the walk of Emmaus and the two Marys there outside the tomb. But he wants to be included on the list. He had a vision. He had God appear to him and Jesus spoke to him. Actually, made him go blind for 3 days to humble himself for that he would cry out and humble himself and cry out to God. And that was the way Jesus appeared to him. But Jesus is still appearing, folks, in the hearts and the minds all over the world. And during this pandemic, let's join our prayers and our faith with the body of Christ that says God is on the move right now. That he can redeem all things and all evil things and all scary things and turn them around to bring many people into the family of God, that love relationship through him, his death, and his resurrection. And so, Lord, we are asking for that. And one of the things I want to do at the end of my message, and I'll have the praise team come at the end, but I want to pray, have a time of prayer at the end, that we pray with this in mind, that there are going to be millions and thousands saved at this time as we see ourselves as the strong body of Christ praying big prayers. So I want to say to you that Jesus Christ is alive. His resurrection is real. That yes, the disciples saw him heal the sick, and the disciples even saw him calm the storm, cast out demons. They saw him even raise the dead while he was ministering. But to defeat death, your own death, they couldn't believe, even though he told them this would happen. He couldn't believe it. They couldn't quite grasp it. But now they're eyewitnesses, and they've seen him risen, and they've seen his body risen and then go up to heaven. And so you have these apostles and these disciples that have believed. Now they believe with all their heart that they come from a place of victory. And so I want to emphasize a few of the places of victory we have, many. But number one is that he is truth. He is truth. And these eyewitnesses were so convinced this is true. He is alive. And do you know there are other ancient historical resources that mention and refer to the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, and how there was a great ruckus in Israel and Jerusalem, and how he was crucified, and how this they claimed that he had been risen. And so it's not just the Bible as a historical document, though it's very historically accurate as historians and archaeologists have found, but there are other historical resources that point to, yes, Jesus Christ really did walk the earth. Yes, he had a big following, and it was a big ruckus in this nation of Israel. In fact, there's up to 27 documents other than the Bible that point to this, point to his life and ministry. But not only do we believe that it's a historical truth and fact, but I want to go into some other places of victory. And that is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says this, it said, Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, verse 14, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, folks, if you don't know what this is, if you can't relate to what I'm reading, if you're just watching online because your mom wants you to, because it's just a tradition, and these words are not something that you can understand and grasp and relate to, today is a great day to experience what it means to have your sins forgiven. That you can have be washed clean of the darkness of the evils that you've done and the evils done against you. This forgiveness of sin is central to a person's salvation, beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know people, these apostles know that saw Jesus, those of us who believe, we've been transferred out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. And we feel that, oh, there's, I don't feel that heaviness on my chest, that darkness that clouds my thinking and brings, oppresses my mind. Where is that? There's something different about my life since I gave my heart to Jesus Christ and never turned back. There's something new in me. Well, my guilt over my past, I feel free of that. The sins have been washed. I feel different inside. This is wonderful. Can I keep it, Lord? Can I be in this state, in this place of victory, this state, this condition, this posture, my whole life? Because I love it. Yeah, not just your whole life, but eternity. See, when we're this sacrifice of Jesus as the Lamb was so effective. It was so powerful. It's good for you for now, for the rest of your life, and in eternity. That's how good it is. That's how deep it is. And it's not, it is, sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. It's deeper than feelings. It comes from the inside. It's an awareness. It's a sense. It's so mighty that yes, hallelujah, I am now out of the kingdom of darkness and I've been forgiven. I don't have to fall into this trap of condemnation and guilt and beating myself over the head because of my sins. No, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins when I confess them to him. And so that's your part, is to confess them to him. So we have another place of victory. He is truth, but also that there for the forgiveness of all of my sins that will last into eternity. Praise God, it's going to last you into eternity. I don't have to, you know, figure things out year after year or whatever. This lasts into eternity. I don't have to come up with something I have to do to earn my salvation to get to heaven. No, this lasts into eternity. This is secure through eternity. I want us to go to look at this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 5. Oh, God is so good. He is a promise keeper. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee or as a pledge. Wow, isn't that cool? He didn't just give us the promise of his word, but he also gave us an actual peace of his Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he pours his love on us and he actually makes his home in us. He abides in us. And our place that was empty, the deepest part of our heart, our spirit now becomes full of light of the Spirit of God. And that is why all things are passed away and all things have become new. I'm a new creature now in Christ Jesus because now my old nature has been cast out and I have a new nature that is ruled, that is down deep in the bottom of my heart by his Holy Spirit. I'm what they call born again in Scripture. And this pledge, this that is given to me is his Holy Spirit. And those apostles and those followers and you and me and over each century since Christ died over 2,000 years ago, we sense this. There's something in us now. There's something that flows in and flows out. It's his Holy Spirit. And it's a guarantee that we have eternity in our hearts, and it starts today and it lasts through our life into forever, into eternity. And so this is so, this is God's word promise. He's promising to us. And then he gave us something to say, this is my pledge. This is my guarantee that this, you're good. You're good for this life and the life after. You're good. You're in a good place. You're in a place of victory. You're in a position of victory. These things were so deep in the hearts of the early church believers. It says that in the early church, there's been numbers that says there were several thousand that were persecuted to the points of death in those first number of years. But up into the third century, after a couple of hundred years, there was 300,000 estimated early church believers who died for their faith. But see, this was known by Christ. This knew that this could happen. This would happen to many of his followers. And so early on, when Jesus he died, he rose again, he ascended, then he sent his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It says this in Acts chapter 1:8. It says, but you will receive power. This is Jesus talking. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and all Samaria, and to the end of the earth. All over the world, you will be my witnesses. You will say, yes, I believe that he is truth. Yes, I've received the forgiveness of sins, and I'm willing to go and find others who haven't experienced this yet, who don't have an eternity in their heart, and they traveled throughout the world. And they, what did they do? They received the Holy Spirit to be their witnesses. And that word witness in the Greek also refers to martyrs. That you have so much power, so much devotion to this, that you will stay strong to the point of death, to the point of martyrdom. Wow. There, this day and age that we're living in, there's uncertain times today. It is so hard to plan tomorrow, next week. It's hard to plan next week. It's hard to know how long this shelter in place, and when the kids are out of school and they're having to homeschool, and you're trying to work and you're trying to teach your kids. Moms, I feel so bad for you. Lord, help every mom at the sound of my voice. You are going through so much weight, so much responsibility. It's all day coming from all directions. There are just so many uncertain times right now. And that opens the door for fear. Well, I want to tell you, you come from a place of victory. You come from a posture of victory. Because you believe in an eternal truth. Because you have the forgiveness of sins. And this forgiveness of sins and this power is so strong, it's going to empower you to be witnesses no matter what's going on in this pandemic. You're going to have the strength to do so. Even to the point of death, folks. Now, you know, you would think, well, that's kind of the ancient times, right? Where people died for Christ. Well, those original apostles, when you look up the traditions of how their life ended up, they all died in other nations, other places besides Israel, because they had left and they had gone to preach the gospel. And they all died violent deaths, like being speared, stoned. Peter was in Rome the same year that Paul was. And it's believed both of them were died by the hands of the emperor Nero, who had part of his city, Rome, burned and then blamed the Christians for it. So there's this great persecution upon Christians in Rome and around Rome. So much so they would feed them in the arena to lions and tigers, and they would kill them in, as sport, as entertainment. I know this just sounds really, really horrible, but they even tied them up on lampposts and put them aflame to light up the streetlights. And so persecution to the point of death was intense in the days of the apostles. All 12 died in other nations a violent death. But in the early church, hundreds and thousands in those first few centuries died horrible deaths because of persecution. But it actually hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. There's great estimates up and down the board on when you research this of even today, how many people are martyred for Christ. The higher estimates are like 100,000 a year, but they're looking at those when they see ethnic wars, particularly in Africa and other places where Christians are dying, and that's not necessarily because of martyrdom. But the conservative estimates, and they vary each year because every year is different, is around 2,000 to 4,000 to 6,000 a year are martyred across our globe today for Jesus Christ. Why would someone die for this belief? What would cause them to say, I'm just going to renounce Christ. I'm going to give up this belief. Stop. I'm going to be good now, and I'm going to join whatever side you're on because I want to live. Let me tell you, this belief, this trust that he is truth, that there's a forgiveness of sins, that he lives inside of us. His spirit is inside of me. Wow, what a truth. His spirit is inside of me as a guarantee. Is so real to people that even today, the modern world where you can get on the internet and study any religion you want, you can get on the internet and find out any, even today, people are willing to serve Christ to the point of death. Why? Because these things are real. It's a piece of eternity. It's like, well, if this is being forgiven is what it's like to live in eternity, if this is having his spirit live inside of me, and this is a part of what eternity is like, I want that eternity. This is what I choose. And I know one person that knows how to get there because he's done it. And I want to pursue that same path. You might be going, listen, Stephen, this is just, it doesn't make sense. Why would people really give their life for Christ to the point of death? I just, it doesn't all make sense. Well, let me tell you, you can study this in the Bible. You can study in other books and resources. And I want to recommend two books to you. One is called The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, and even they have a movie out on his life and how he turned. He was a Harvard Law student. He was a journalist in Chicago, and Lee's wife gave her life to Christ, and he saw her change, but he thought that she was just being illogical and being unacademic and unscholarly and just ridiculous. It just disdained him. And so he started studying, could this be real? Could this be historically true? Could this be? And he starts studying this because he wants to bring it back to his wife and say, listen, you've gone too far. You're emotional. You're just, come back to earth, please. Well, as he studied, he realized this does fit together. This does make sense. This is worth studying. In fact, Josh McDowell, a number of decades before that, wrote the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict, because he was a young man. He was against Christianity. He was an atheist. But when he studied it, he found evidence mounting that said, wow, this is true. And he gave his life to Christ and wrote over 100 books. Read his work as well, Josh McDowell, More Than a Carpenter. So I want to say to you, don't let this Easter day just be a little holiday you do. Find out for yourself. Is there something real behind this historical event that Jesus died and rested? Is this something real besides deeper of your sins forgiving and Jesus living on side of you? Well, I want to tell you another thing that's very real, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. And this passage describes the transformation of many people that happened in this city, the city of Corinth. And it goes like this. Verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Did you hear that, folks? Yes. These people in Corinth, they were in bondage to sins and evils that were tearing their life apart. They knew what darkness was. They knew what despair was. They knew what it was like to be depressed and oppressed. They knew what it was like to be in despair, to be hopeless. They knew what it was like to not be able to stop sinning those sins and start hurting those people in relationships. They knew what it was like, and they were in bondage to this. But there is a miracle that happens when you come to Jesus Christ. Give him your heart and ask for the forgiveness of all your sins. He comes in and transforms you. He gives you his righteousness. It's called the righteousness of God, is given to you as his gift. You don't have to do something to earn it. You receive it by trusting and believing and having faith in him. And that righteousness is called being justified. You're okay. You're going to go right into heaven when you die. There's no fear about death. You're justified. And then that righteousness begins working on our soul, our mind, our will and emotions, our habits of our life. And it begins sanctifying us. And that transformation in all areas of our life starts happening as we continue to obey him and learn more of him and follow him. This sanctification. There's this transformation that happens, and we see this in this life, and God softens our hearts and he wants us to keep becoming more like him. It's his love that works these miracles by his Spirit. And so this place of victory that we get to stand from, live from, even in the middle of a pandemic, is the number four on this list, is that I am transformed for victory. I'm transformed for victory. It's for a blessed future. It's for a blessed life. I'm transformed to be a person full of faith and hope. Because I know where I'm going. I'm going to eternity. I already have these pieces of guarantee that of what heaven is like. And it's wonderful. I don't want ever to leave me. And it won't, because you're sealed by his blood. You're covered by his blood. And so in a moment, I'm going to have the worship team keep playing. I'm going to step away. I'm going to come back and we're going to engage in prayer. Please, don't leave your screens. Wait for a moment, because we're going to pray from a victory. Pray from a place of victory. I want to read you part of a word that I received just a couple of weeks ago. And it says that God has a plan for the earth. And he's beginning to unveil it. And the enemy's fury is no match for our beautiful King Jesus. He will have an end time revival with billions of souls saved. He will have a laid down bride to return to. He wins. We win. My heart is that we may not lose sight of that fact. And in this time that we pray and cry out to him, not from a place of defeat, but from a place of victory. I love that. Just say it in your households with your family right now. From a place of victory. We live from a place of victory. You live with this, his resurrection. It is a posture of victory. We overcome. We overcome death, sin. There's nothing that we can overcome through Christ. And so I say these things to say we have someone in us that gives us victory. And we're going to pray from a place of victory. Now listen, there are tough days out there. There are times, moments where life is hard and things seem to be crashing in on us. And we just humble ourselves. We cry out to God and say, God, help. That's a good prayer too. That's not a bad prayer. That's a good prayer too. But God is working by his Spirit in you because he lives inside of you to also pray with hope, with faith. Because you know that you're blessed. You know that God's will is coming about in your life. So right now, I want to end this moment with a prayer. And then I'm going to have worship and come back. But let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you're not sure, or if it's been a long time since you've really trusted him and served him, and you don't know if you're really saved or not because you've just pursued your own goals and visions and plans, and now you want to come back to him, this is a great time. Pray with me right now. We have a number on the screen. If you don't belong to our church, this number's for you. We send in an email, 3 phone numbers to call. For prayer, for any reason, that's in the email we sent this morning. That's for you, Living Waters Church members. But we have this number on the screen that if you want to pray this prayer of salvation with someone, or if you want just need prayer, try this. It's going to be open for 30 minutes until after this service is over. Those lines will stay open for 30 minutes. In fact, let me just lead you in a prayer right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to turn around from my own way of living and turn to you. I, in a sense, repent and want to turn to you and ask you to forgive me of all my sins right now. Come into my heart, live within me, and I want to make you ruler and Lord of my life, of all areas of my life. In Jesus' name. You are a brand new believer. You're a child of God. You're in the family of God now. If you prayed that prayer either for the first time or renewed it and prayed it again to be sure that you're a child of God, welcome to the family of God. Let's worship God for a minute, then we're going to come back for some victorious prayer. Thank you.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise you, Jesus.
Just leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Just bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness
You are good. You are mighty.
What a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Praise you, God. Thank you, God.
Bow down before him, for he is Lord.
That's right. That's right. I believe God is doing a couple things right now. One is this idea of the altar. You're not in a church. You're somewhere listening. But there's some people that are still holding out. You sense a drawing in your heart right now that you need to get right with God. You need to come back to him. And there's an altar right there in your chair. There's an altar right there in your kitchen, your family room. And that is the altar of your heart. And God is drawing you, saying, yes, I've been wanting you to come back for days, weeks, months, years. Now is really the day. This is the time. I miss you. I adore you. I want to be in relationship with you. So yes, humble yourself. Turn from your sins. Turn to God. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. And so there are some that still are on that verge right now. And I say, I just want to encourage you. Oh, yes, go ahead and do it. We're here. We have people praying for you. We have people praying before the service this morning, during the service. And one of our prayer warriors there felt like there's a female named Rhonda who is watching and listening this morning. And Rhonda, this is for you, that the Lord wants you to be encouraged. And he wants you to know that he hears your prayers. And so, yes, Lord, be encouraged by that. That the Lord hears your prayers. There's a scripture given to me this morning before the service specifically for today. And it's out of Malachi 4:2. And it says, "And the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on his wings." And so those of you who are sick or ill, those of you who have friends or family that are ill, we want to pray for healing from the wings of the Father, the wings of this Lord, this risen Lord, Jesus. His resurrection gives us a place of victory to pray this morning. And so you have certain names on your heart. I'm going to say some names. I can't remember all of them that we're praying for right now in our church, but I'm going to go through some first names, and you go through names in your family room. We're praying for this healing from God's beautiful wings of love to heal people in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray right now. We thank you, Lord God, for healing in your wings. For those in hospitals battling this virus and pneumonia right now, in Jesus' name, we pray for my pastor friend Ed, be healed in Jesus' name. We pray for Heather to be healed in Jesus' name, Rose Marie in Jesus' name. We pray for Chris to be healed and fully recovered. We pray for Jamie to be healed. Lord God, we pray for protection from this virus in Jesus' name over us, our families. Lord, thank you that the blood of Jesus covers us and protects us. Thank you, Lord God, that you are mighty and you go before us, Lord God. And Lord, you go before us in what we do and say and where we go to protect us, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we come from a place of victory, Lord God, that in Jesus' name we do not live in fear, but we live in love. And that love casts that fear, Lord. Thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord. I want to also pray some bold prayers. And I'm scheduling this Wednesday night a time for our people to get together in prayer by Zoom, video call, or telephone. And I'll be sending an email instructions on that. But we're going to pray a place of victory on Wednesday night. And right now, I just want to just join believers that this pandemic is going to have a sharp downturn and eradication here this week. We're in the week of Passover right now. Started Wednesday, goes through next Thursday. And there are believers across the globe that believe that God is going to put a dramatic punch of ending this pandemic in a dramatic way over this week. And I just want to join those prayers. I like big prayers. We have a big God. We can pray big prayers for big God. Lord God, we are warriors following you. We are victorious in Christ. And we pray together in Jesus' name that though it's a big prayer, we pray with many that believe that God, and we're asking you to just do a fist damage to this pandemic. Bring it to its knees over this next week, Lord God. Bring it to its knees. Turn this around, Lord God. May the numbers of cases turn around, Lord God, all over the world, Lord God. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would set our nation free from this evil pandemic, this destructive pandemic in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you turn it around, Lord God. Lord God, and you give us freedom, Lord God, to walk out in the open again very soon, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we want to pray big prayer. Give us faith to do that, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It has been so good to be together today. I'm going to ask Simeon. And Simeon, thank you so much for leading us today. Great time. Thank you so much. To continue to worship and sing. I'm going to leave. But the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and give you his peace. Love you guys. See you soon.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord. Seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You've made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You've made a way when there was no way, and I believe I see you do it again. Oh, you'll do it again. I'll see you do it again. You will do it again. Hallelujah. Shanda, hallelujah. Glory.